Praise God, he's brought us here tonight. I mean, to this place of his will and revelation for us. It was quite true what Peter said, that everything in me lit to take on where he left off. I don't want people to get out of the way for me to come and preach. But record an incident, some of you may have heard it. My wife, at least, will know it. It was a long time ago that we had a death in our family. It was the death of she was an adopted sister. In the death, it was her boy that died, little Jeffrey. I remember him dying. I remember the whole incident. And I remember going and talking about it. It was in the days before I was in what's called full-time ministry. And I used to go down into Surrey, a very, very precious place there, where I used to go and minister about once every 3 or 4 months, I suppose, in that I happened to have the kind of job that I could go off and come back on Monday. And I remember going in, and these people were very sweet to me. She once told me I was very spoiled because they were very wealthy and they used to send a big Rolls-Royce car to pick me up at Red Hill Station and used to drive me home. There's one of the dearest families I ever knew. He would never let Gaylor get out and open the gates. He used to do that himself. You sit still, Gaylor. Gaylor was the chauffeur. And the boss used to get out and open the carriage drive. And we used to ride up and had a wonderful time. But I remember at this particular time, Jeffrey had just died, and they asked in all their politeness for the family. And I just said this, just recounted the story. He died of enteritis, only a little chap. And I remember this lady saying, "Oh," she said, "what is home without a baby? Never gone. What is home without a baby?" she said. "Yeah. What's a church without one, anyway?" "Yeah. What's a church without a baby crying out its first birth cry?" Of course, God loves to have babies. Yes. There's a wonderful verse in Isaiah. Chapter 40. Verse 9. "O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." See him, this God you talk about. Know him. "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Listen, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead the mothers," those that are with young, that brother was talking about, the mums and the dads. Hallelujah. This is the great truth of God. This is our blessed God. He carries the lambs in his bosom. I wish every preacher understood that instead of getting up with a big stick and telling them what they ought to be doing. I wish they did. I wish they understood that the Lord carries the lambs in his bosom. I'm often getting ticked off for carrying people. I get told they'll kill me if I keep carrying them. Well, I've been a long time dying. Amen. I hope I'm a longer time too. It'll be too late when you die. And you'd better be found carrying God's lambs than carrying your own misery around with you. That's the wonderful part about it. God wants to bring forth children. That's what he wants, beloved. What is home without a baby? I remember the occasion that when this little chappie died, he was an absolutely wonderful child. He really was, not just because he was connected with me, but somebody said afterwards he was too good to live anyway. I remember the little tiny casket in which they carried him away under the undertaker's arms afterwards. But it fell to my lot to go up and inform his father, because Geoffrey had died in hospital. They tried to do their best for him. Of those times, I never knew nothing about God. I never knew anything about God's healing powers. I'm not trying to say he wouldn't have died had I known that. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't know anything about it. And when the news came, my sister was at home, broken, of course, and I had to go up and tell Jack. They lived about a half a mile from us. We lived in the country, and I remember going up this hill with leaden feet. And I opened the front door and walked in, and there stood Jack, waiting for the news. I looked at him and I drew a deep breath. I was a young man, all brash and stupid, I suppose, in my 20s. And I said to him, "Jack," as he looked at me without a word and inquiring eyes, "Put your chin out, Jack," I said, "and take it. He's gone." And he looked at me. He turned his back on me and he walked to a corner. And there in the corner, in the high chair, was a great big teddy bear. And he went up there and he took this thing out of the chair and he threw it. What's a teddy bear without a baby? What's a home without a baby? Praise the name of the Lord. It's got to be. It's got to be. And our union with the Christ, in the end, may as well not be, if all we want from it is functional membership in a body. If that's all we want from it, it's about as sublimely selfish and stupid as ever you did hear. God wants your two arms to reach out and carry a lamb in your bosom. He wants you to be a shepherd. That's what he wants of me, and it's what he wants of every one of us. So the Lord is working among us in these days, I'm sure. Praise the name of the Lord. I suppose it's the most glorious thing of all when you really hear the birth cries, somebody really getting born. When you know when you hear the birth cry, it's always there. It starts with Abba Father. That's the birth cry. He sends forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying. When the Holy Ghost comes, He comes crying, Abba, Father. That's what your Bible says. It doesn't matter about the theories of others. Your Bible says that He sends forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying. He comes crying. That's He comes. He doesn't come silently. He comes crying. Your Bible says so. You must believe it. And you must exclude everything else but that. It's there. And God loves to hear that more than anything else. The cry of a newborn babe. Abba, Father. He loves that more than anything. The Lord once on a prolonged, don't mistake me, I don't do this very regularly, but on a prolonged fast, at one period in my life, I went in for, I did a fairly long period of fasting. And I think the most wonderful thing that the Lord did for me in that period is that He brought me down onto this great word. I think we'll find it basically in Hebrews 6. That wonderful chapter. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The construction of the Greek is leaving the word of the beginning. And I was waiting on the Lord during this great time of fasting and prayer. And the thing that the Lord revealed to me was what the word of the beginning was. Right in the beginning. For a long time I couldn't tell anybody, and you've never heard me say these things before, so that'll show you. I don't suppose anybody has. Some of you have known me a long time. There are some things that, it's rather like David said. He said, God hath made a covenant with me, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. It was a personal thing that God had made with David. And there are some things which are so intensely personal that you can only give expression to them when the Spirit gives you utterance. And you cannot do it otherwise with all the goodwill in the world. So don't be too hard on people if they can't express themselves. Labor rather to create the atmosphere of the Spirit, so be in love that they can pour out the things that are inside. Don't belabor them if they can't. Don't blame them. Go to your own closet and blame yourself. And it was at this time that the Lord, He showed me that the great word of the beginning, He took me right back into the Trinity. And this is one of the most blessed things of my life, in that God has taught me how He lives and how He functions in so many things. That I can say, and I say this with all humility, that I can say with certainty that I know that God will do this and I know that God will do that. And I've been able to say to many people so many times, no, God's not like that. He doesn't do that at all. To be able to tell people God is the whole art of it all, is the whole secret. And I remember He carried me back in those days, and He opened up to me this great truth. And this was the thing, that the great word of the beginning was Father. That He had a Son that said to him, Father. The only begotten Son, Father. And I want to tell you that delights his heart. I heard it there as I was waiting before him. I heard it in God. That is the beginning. You've got it in Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 5. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son? This day have I begotten thee. And again, I'm going to give it to you as it is in the Greek here. I will be to him for a father, and he shall be to me for a son. Alleluia. God has spoken to us in a son. If that doesn't speak everything in all the world to you, you're deaf and dead. God has spoken in a son. Hasn't he said everything? Hasn't he said everything? Eh? He said everything. Hasn't he? Or hasn't he? Yes, he said it all now. The word of the beginning, Father. Father. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know, he could let his son go to Calvary because of that, because by that he was going to bring many sons to glory. By that. Oh, it was wonderful. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Hears it? Father! That's the Holy Ghost. You'll know whether he's come. The rest are only touches. Movings. I don't believe in the word anointings. I don't believe in that kind of talk. Personally, I believe in drawings. I believe in leadings. I believe in convictings. But I don't believe in these things that are called anointings because people go through emotional experiences. I don't believe them. I never have. And the more I hear of it, the less inclined I am to change my opinion. They may be called anointings. I'm not saying that. There are those that are called gods, says Paul. We've got to recognize there is that is called an anointing. But because people call it an anointing, that's no reason why we should. Or I should, anyway. I'll exclude you. The whole glorious thing is, so there comes that moment when the Spirit of God, to be God in us and to fulfill the Word of God and complete the work of Christ in us, comes into us and himself makes us cry, Abba, Father, and then we know. And if you like, God knows. And that's indisputable. And the devil can try his hardest and he can't do anything with that. He'll twist you all uphill and down dale with anything less than that. But when that's there, not because it's been copied from Scripture, but because he comes, it's the Holy Ghost doing it in you. It's a person doing it inside you. It isn't the sum total of your beliefs. It isn't the acceptance of a Bible text. It is God doing something, like God puts stars in the sky, like God causes dry land to appear out of the waters. He does it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what a precious thing it is. Abba, Father. Amen. My, I can imagine what goes on in God's heart then. Though known unto him are all these things from the foundation of the world. Anticipation and foreknowledge are blessed things, but actuality and realization are bliss beyond words. In God's heart, we've got to be born from above. We've got to be born by scriptural things. Jesus said, if you believe on me as the scripture has said. Amen. Blessed be the Lord for the enlargement of scriptures since the day when he stood up and said it, only having the Old Testament to which to refer then. But now, beloved, we have this thing revealed to us. And here is the whole basis of it. And as sure as the Spirit of God comes into a human heart, he does exactly the same. In any heart, he is no respecter of persons. He does not differ from one to another. That is basic in every one of us. And it has to be. And when that's there, everything is built up from it. That's the word of the beginning. And that's where the doctrine of Christ starts, in you and me. It started there in the beginning with his great cry, Father. I could hear it echoing in the heart of God. That was the greatest thing that ever fasting and prayer did for me. I dare say it got some poisons out of my system as well. I don't know. They tell me it does that. But it wasn't the poison that got out of my system. It was the revelation it brought into my spirit. That was the greatest thing for me. All right then, beloved. You got the Holy Ghost in your heart crying, Abba, Father? If my voice sunk away into silence now, and you lost consciousness of everything else, what's the noise that's going on inside? What's the voice that's speaking? And what is he saying? Do you have to sustain yourself on repetition of Bible texts? They're very good props, but all props are outward. He comes inside. Hallelujah. And it's there, and that's ineradicable. Under normal circumstances, a man and a woman can go through on that. Father, thou art my son. Amen. And it's a precious thing when it happens to you. If I said stand up, everyone that's got this in their heart, would you stand up? If I put you on the spot, could you stand up? I'm not asking you yet whether you're perfect in holiness and the fear of God. This is the beginning. Perfect in holiness is a progressive and consummating thing in the life. But whether this is there, it's this that will divide between sheep and goats. It will this that will divide. Not what I believe or what I don't believe. It will divide whether the Holy Ghost is in me, nominating me a son, and nominating Father, the Father of Jesus Christ, as my Father. Amen. Father. Father. Hallelujah. This is my son. Amen. Amen. Well, would you stand up? I don't mean volunteering to do anything. Is it there? Now, if that's there, beloved, oh, it's so precious. The Lord can do tremendous things because He is only in these days speaking through a son. He's finished speaking by prophets and all this. In the past, He spoke by prophets and divers other means. In these days, you've got it in your Bible, He's speaking by a son. That's how God is speaking today. There are prophets, but we're not to grow up into prophets and apostles, but into Him. May I give a personal testimony? It seems we've got some nostalgia this Christmas. But I want to testify to you that I never sought any of the things. None of these things did I seek. Never. I only ever put up my hand in response to an appeal. It may be because I'm stubborn. It may be because I'm just thick-headed. I don't know. I suppose I'm me, and I'm rather sorry about that. But I only remember ever responding in public to an appeal, and it was this, that somebody preached in a place called Dean House. I went to a meeting in Bradford, and these two, they were missionaries from the field, and they cried for intercessors. And they said, put up your hand, those that want to be an intercessor. And I put up my hand. Glory be to God, I wanted to be an intercessor. I wanted to be an intercessor. Now, I suppose you know that intercession has nothing to do with words. You have to live to make intercession. Jesus has to live to make intercession. It's a life that makes intercession. It's wordless. Words can bring supplication. Words can bring prayer. But words can't bring intercession. It's a life that brings intercession. And when intercession is made, it's always with things that can't be uttered. It subsists in groanings. It doesn't subsist in words. You understand that? It doesn't subsist in words. It subsists in groanings. That man prayed more for his father than I did. He couldn't speak. Don't you understand? Or do you? Of course you do. Aren't the deepest things of your life sub-expressional? Only a little bit comes out in expression. I hope it's lovely, what does come out. I hope it speaks of that which is 10,000 times more deeply in the soul, unknown even to the person, except in power. And indescribable, even to a St. John of the Golden Mouth. The whole thing is that you and I have got to live in this realm of intercession. It's always made with groanings which cannot be uttered. And don't think that means speaking in tongues, will you? Because they're uttered. Silly people who say that that means speaking in tongues. They don't even read their Bibles properly. As Di pointed out, she hadn't been reading her Bible properly. So very few people read their Bible properly. Di's not alone there. They say that speaking in tongues, I've read it in black and white, in their magazines and books. These are teachers, and they're denying what the Bible says. It says they can't be uttered. These are the big things, beloved, that you and I have to see. That which in the end is akin to that which welled up in Jesus and spilled out in blood and couldn't say a word, say bleeding love, that's all. And your assessment of that is an indication of the depth of your own character. You will measure yourself and test yourself by Jesus Christ. No one else will do it. So the Lord brings us into this glorious realm that you don't, it come back to where I began. I didn't seek any of these things. I want to testify to you that with me it was like the reaper overtaking the ploughman and the ploughman overtaking the reaper. When God decides to abundantly bless your earth, you will remember, read this in Deuteronomy, he said, I will bless you in your basket, I will bless you in your cupboard, I will bless you in your store, I will bless your land, I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you. Amen, he said. He said, and I tell you that I'll bless your land, and the reaper shall overtake the ploughman, and the ploughman shall overtake the reaper. That's how God likes to deal with you. When you come out from under that which belongeth under the curse, and must still yet be treated, if you will insist on living in that area as under the curse. There is that which God will not bless, but let a man or a woman come out and decide to live in and by the Spirit, and he will not need to ask God anything, for he has pledged himself. As Jesus said, they said that when the Holy Ghost came, now you may read this in your own Bibles in John 14, he said that at that day, it's in John 15. He says, at that day, that is, on the day of Pentecost, when you're baptized in the Spirit and come to a glorious newness of life in Christ, he says, you will ask me nothing. Silences you. That's what he said. You won't ask me anything. Why? Why? You'll be just satisfied and full, and you'll know it. And your questions are answered. That's right. And then he starts. The ploughman starts to overtake the reaper, the sower. The sower overtakes the ploughman. The reaper overtakes the sower. You say, well, all the seasons have come at once. Hallelujah. As old Paul says, the ends of the ages have come upon us. Amen. We've outrun time. We've outrun covenants. We've outrun dispensations. We've outrun this, that, and the other. We're not looking at charts or anything like that. We're there. It's come. Amen. A man of God is a man that pulls in the end into now. And is living, and pulls the beginning into now. He has the word of the beginning in his heart. He has the word of ending in his heart too. He's there. When Christ has come, he's Alpha and Omega and everything in between. So then the Lord moves on our lives. And what a wonderful thing it is then to know God, if you like, can't move fast enough. I remember how the Lord did these tremendous things at that period. He can't keep doing everything all at once, all the time. I mean, the things he's done, they're done. But nevertheless, his spirit is the same. His disposition is unchanged. And to repeat myself, he has no respect of persons. Respect for personages at all. And he's simply moving on with great concern for you, my beloved, has great concern for each one of us, along the pattern of the life of Jesus Christ. He's moving on there. And you and I, we only need to come here and live here, and let him do his great works in us. That's what we need to do. When this happens, and this is the only sign in the end of a healthy church, you will hear the birth cry coming. And woe betide to take up and repeat what our brother Peter has said earlier. Woe betide anybody who takes a big stick and expects babes to be men in 5 minutes. See, woe betide them. But nevertheless, there is a growth where we were seeing this morning that Paul says, we're not to be children. We're not to be children any longer. He was writing to the Ephesians, you see. Not be carried about by winds of doctrine or anything like this, but get onto this sure ground and grow right up into our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the quickest ways to discourage, dishearten, and smash a church is for someone. I well remember this happening in Bradford, where God was tremendously pleased to pour us out great blessing. And I remember a young couple coming in, they'd got all of a sudden zealous for the mission field. And we had a weekly prayer meeting. You know, it was tremendous. They got the vision of the mission field. And they came into the prayer. The prayer meeting was no longer any good because, you see, everybody wasn't wanting to be on the mission field and all this. And this used to come out, they used to go on their knees and then tower up and pour it all out. And everybody else used to go down like this, you know, sinking down. They thought that they were sort of showing the church what they ought to be. Instead, they were brandishing a big whip. They'd only just got there themselves. And moreover, I want to tell you that this couple has never gone on the mission field. You see? That can be very destructive. You know, it isn't the words you pray, it's the way you pray them. It's your disposition that counts. It's the power that's flowing through you. You may have power of words. It is given to a few to have them. These have a great responsibility. But it isn't the power of words that's the important thing. It's your spirit, my child. It's that mind, what it's been thinking before it prayed. And I don't mean 5 minutes before it prayed, but I mean for the last 20 years before it prayed that prayer. It's that that's the important thing. It's that sublime, mature, glorious spirit from all eternity that came down to this earth. There he lived, the glorious fullness of the maturity of the ages, and lived out there amongst men that became our salvation. Now may the Lord lead us all on them and bring us out of all our little cul-de-sacs and by alleys and dark corners and things like that, and bring us onto the great true road with the Lord. There's no reason why every one of us in this room shouldn't be moving right on in and into more and more of this. None of you need be bound. None of you need be without the great cry in your heart. None of you, and this I want to emphasize, whatever your circumstances and however difficult it's been and however hard the way, and whatever other voices talk to you or things flash through your mind, are these the all-powerful things, or is it our great Holy Ghost? Do we fall down and worship these things, or do we acclaim and stand on the power of Christ, that it is the word and voice of the living God alone that counts? Are we putting God as someone inferior to all these others? Are we saying, yes, but look at all this? The cry that goes up in Isaiah is, behold your God! That's the cry that goes up. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get ye up into the high mountain. Praise God. Get ye up into the high mountain. Hallelujah. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. His reward is with him. His work is before him. Right there. His work's before him. Hallelujah. Let him gather us all into his work. Let him bring us right in there. Don't let's run around on other and lesser things, but let's be brought into this great original and eternal and only true work of God, the thing that he does. And then we can move on in it, and then we can grow in it, and we can grow up into him, and we can increase with the increase of God. Or isn't it true that when a man and a woman have begotten a child, they've increased themselves? That's what they've done. They've increased themselves. Amen. That's the whole glorious pattern where God is concerned. We've got to grow with the increase of God. Amen. Do you want to do that? Let's pray about it, shall we?